If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, we began a series and we've been interrupted for about 2 weeks. I just meant that as schedule, not purposeful interruption. We entitled this Make It Into the Hall of Faith. This Hebrews chapter 11 has some characters in here that make up the Hall of Faith. And not tonight, but the next time we're in this, we're going to get to those characters. I want to talk about them like Abraham and Noah and Enoch, because I think their lives can be an inspiration to our lives that we too can have faith. And when I talk about making the Hall of Faith, I'm not saying any of us necessarily will ever have the stature of Abraham and Joseph, but we can have the same faith that they had. Amen. And so we're going to be looking at this again tonight. This is just a representation of the Hall of Faith. I don't know if you can see the names there, Isaac and Abraham and Noah and Enoch. And we're going to be looking at it tonight. Here's our theme verse. I think verse 6 of Hebrews 11 is the kind of the theme of the whole chapter. And so if you'd stand and read this with me, and then we'll pray and begin our installment tonight of the faith chapter. Let's read it together. Would you read it verbally with me out loud? But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It pays to pray. It pays to pray. It pays to serve God. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you want a faith that pleases him? Amen. Let's lift our hearts. Father, be with us tonight in this time in your word. Thank you for your word that speaks to us throughout the ages and through the ages. God, encourage our hearts tonight from the testimony that we've had. God, just encourage us to believe you like we never have before. Truly, Lord, we're in troublesome times and dark times and frightful times, but we know in whom we have believed, and we're persuaded he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him against that day. Now, Lord, move by your Spirit upon the teaching tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. In particular tonight, I want to talk about this. Make faith the foundation. Talking about your life. Make faith, not feelings. Make faith the foundation of your life. We're going to look at the first three verses, and I'm going to read these before we look at them. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, notice two things here. For by it the elders, Abraham, Isaac, all these, the elders obtained a good report. Second thing, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Make faith the foundation. Now I want to begin right here. Now, faith is a substance. In fact, read this with me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the closest in the Bible, the closest we have to a definition of faith. Right here. Now, I don't know how you are, but I have found myself throughout the years reading this over and over. Yes, we got a definition of faith. And so I read it over and over, at least a description. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I read it over and over thinking that if somehow I can grasp what that is really saying, I'm going to unlock the mystery of the powers of faith. Have you ever caught yourself doing that? Have you caught yourself just reading this Hebrews 1 thinking, if I can just really get my mind wrapped around this, I'm going to turn that key and it's just going to unleash the power of faith in my life? In other words, we kind of make it a mystical thing. But I think I finally get it. And here it is. Hebrews 11:1 is not speaking of the nature or the origin of faith, but the results of faith. Let's go back and I'll explain what I mean. You know, most of the time we read this, we think that if we get the substance, we'll get the faith. If we get the evidence, we'll get the faith. I don't think it's saying that. I think what it's saying is if we get the faith, we'll have the substance. If we get the faith, we'll have the evidence. I think we perhaps have read this backwards. And so we're talking about the results of faith. If you have faith in God, you will have a foundation for living your life. You'll have a foundation. Get the foundation. So let's look at the verse again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at those two words, substance and evidence. Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Now, I'm sure I'm going to be teaching this different than you'll hear it many times on the religious airwaves today, because they have made faith this mystical thing that we harness and we have the power over and we manipulate. And I don't think it's what it's saying at all. The word substance is hypostasis, which really means that which is placed underneath. Okay? Substance, what is placed underneath. Evidence means proof or conviction. In other words, to have faith in God, you have something that's been placed underneath you. To have faith in God, you have conviction for life and for living. Let me just put it this way. Faith gives you a foundation. And I want to tell you this. You know this. If there's anything young people need, families need, society needs, our world needs, they need a foundation. Faith gives a foundation. Let me show you how this works. What is the basis or the foundation of the hope we have? Look, I'm going to jump way over into this and just make this statement. If you don't have faith in God, you have no basis of hope. Hope that you can be better. Hope that the world's going to get better. Hope in eternity. There's no basis for hope without a belief in God. I want to ask you, did anyone see someone up here looking for money in the choir loft tonight? Did anyone do that? Did anyone come up here in the choir loft and look for money? No one? Why? You had no basis. You had no reason to believe that there's money up there. But what if I told you that before service, I had put some money in the choir loft? All of a sudden, go ahead. What made the difference? I'm glad I wasn't looking. I'm glad it was a one. I had a five in there too. That's all I hear. What made the difference? Why wasn't anyone looking before service? Because they had no reason to believe there was something there. But when I said, and I'm sure glad you have a little faith in me, but when I said I put money there, you had reason to go look. You had hope that there's money there. I don't know if you heard about this fella or not. Mr. Finn, he's a multimillionaire in New York, New Mexico, and he used some of his wealth and he bought a bunch of gold coins and jewels and he hid them out in the desert north of Santa Fe. And then he told people, he gave them a poem with clues. Now, before he put his word out there in the poem, no one was out there looking for treasure. They had no reason to believe. But once he said it's there, it changed everything. You see, our faith gives us a foundation for hope. Not only for hope, but our faith gives us a foundation to make moral decisions. Look, I don't have time to get into this, but the reason our nation is in such a mess is they have no foundation to make moral judgments on. Every man, you know, I just read through Joshua again, and if anything pegs our society, the book of Joshua does. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You see, you don't have God, you don't have the Bible, you don't have a basis of making a moral judgment. I mean, if you're trying to decide what's right and wrong, who do you ask? The elitist? Who do you ask? The government officials? Who do you ask? 51% of the people? Let's suppose you guys never do this. How many's got a sibling? Got a sibling? And so let's say you're in a big argument about something. The moon is made out of blue cheese. And so you're in this big argument. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. What do you finally do to solve that argument? Well, yeah, I got that coming up. But used to, you'd say, "Dad, come settle this argument." You would appeal to a higher authority. Now you Google it, right? You see, without belief in God, there's no basis for moral decisions. Without the belief in God, there is no basis for man being worth anything. Brother Bill and I have a good ongoing discussion here. But I want to tell you, if man hadn't decided gold was worth something, gold would be just another rock. The only reason gold has any value is because man, a higher being than the gold, decided it would have value. Right? And I want to tell you, the only way man is just another animal, he's just chemistry, he's just elements of this, that's all he is. He has no worth or value unless there's someone higher than he is that says, "You're worth something." Hasn't he done that? How did he ultimately say we're worth something? The cross. I've told you before, but years ago I was between meetings and I was on an airplane and sat down to a lady. She started a conversation and it went real well until she asked me what I did. She was a business lady. And I told her I just got back from preaching a meeting. She started to get quiet then. Finally she said, "You know what? I don't believe there's a God." And about that time, they used to serve dinner. How many remembers they used to serve dinner? Dinner on the plane, boy, that dates it. It wasn't right flying it, but anyway, it dates it. And they had actual silverware, a little package and cellophane packaging. And I opened it up, and before I used it, I held that fork up in front of her, and I said, "Ma'am, why does this fork have any value?" She looked at me like I was strange. I can see why. She said, "I don't know what you mean." I said, "Why is this? Why am I holding this in my hand? Why did somebody pay money for this? Why does it have any value?" Finally, she got it. She said, "Because we as humans use it. It means something to us. And because it means something to us, it has value." I said, "Exactly right." I said, "If there is no God, we mean nothing to nobody, and we have no value. But if there is a God that created us, then we mean something to him. And we have value." You know why people act like animals? They've been told they're animals and they have no value. But I'm telling you, I can tell you tonight, you have value because a creator created you in his image and a redeemer died for you to save you. See, it's faith in God that gives us value. I'm not talking about self-esteem and going around saying I'm worth something because I'm worth something because he gives me the value. I must move on. There's that silverware. It is our faith in a personal God who is creator, redeemer, Lord, and judge that gives us the foundation of everything else. You know why some people make the decisions they make? You know why some folks aren't listening to me preach right now? It's because they don't really, really think of God being judge, and therefore their actions don't matter. But I'm telling you, when you believe in a God who is a judge, then all of a sudden, your actions matter. Everything about this faith is a foundation. Without this faith, there's no basis of hope. Without this faith, there's no basis of worth. Without this faith, there's no basis of morality. And that's why our world's in the shape that it's in. Jesus was getting this across, pointing this out. When Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Our hearts need not to be troubled. We need not flounder. We need not be a casualty in life. When we realize there is a God and we believe in him, all of a sudden, everything matters. Let's look at these words in substance. Faith is a basis upon we have an assurance of hope, substance of things hoped for. If we have faith, we have a basis of assurance of hope. It's the evidence of things not seen. Faith is also the basis upon which we can know of a certainty of the unseen things. If you can believe in God, you can believe in heaven. You can believe in the unseen world. And so once again, I want to point out that though faith gives us the substance, the evidence, faith isn't just wishful thinking. It's not just dreaming upon which everything else is built. No, there's something to faith. We don't just take a leap in the dark. First of all, our faith is based on history. Jesus is historical. Jesus really lived. Jesus really walked this earth. Jesus died, and it is historical. Jesus rose from the dead. I'm so tired in our society because they say, you know, you ought to put your trust in science because science is logical and science has reasoned things out and science has the evidence. But have you ever noticed, if you listen to that kind of news or read it, how almost weekly something will come out like this: scientists thought that this is the way that light worked, but recent data shows they had it all wrong. Light works differently. Or scientists thought that, you know, this kind of animal lived in this time period, but recent evidence has shown that this animal lived much later than that or much earlier. Have you noticed that kind of thread throughout the news? Almost constantly there's something to come out that's contradicting science. You can date yourself on how many times you've heard them go back and forth on eggs. Science says eggs bad for you. Science said eggs good for you. Science says eggs are bad for you. Science said eggs are good for you. Cholesterol's bad. Now cholesterol's good. I mean, no wonder people are confused. They're putting their trust in science. Now look, science gets it right when it sticks to science, but not when it tries to talk about things like religion and Christ and God. They're going to get it wrong. So it's a basis. Our faith is based on history. Our faith is based on what corresponds with reality. And I'm not going to linger here. But let me tell you this. You know why we got such a mess in our government with the current legislation and everything? Because they believe the nature of man is differently than what it is. The Bible tells us what the nature of man is, and the Bible corresponds with reality. The Bible gets it right. Man is what the Bible says it is. So you can't have a bill that says, okay, you know, either pay $4,000, I'm just tweaking the numbers here, but pay $4,000 to buy this product or pay a fine of $75 and then expect everybody to go out and buy the product. It goes against the nature of man. They don't get it right because they don't take into account the reality of who man is. But how many knows the Bible gets it right when it talks about what man is? Man, the heart is deceitful about all things and desperately wicked. I love this. One time a man was witnessing to a skeptic, and the skeptic kept saying, I don't believe the Bible's the word of God. I don't believe the Bible's true. I don't believe the Bible is true. I don't believe it's the word of God. And about that time, the man just reached over and got the man's nose between his feet and just twisted it. And the man's nose just spouted blood. And the Christian said, well, see, the Bible is true because the Bible says the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. What I'm trying to say here, the Bible, you can put your faith in the truth of the Bible because it corresponds with reality. It gets it right. Our faith is based on what has been tried and found true. Now, I know some people don't really serve God, but there has been no one who has really served God that has been able to stand and say, God failed me. Right? There's nobody that's really followed the Word of God that's been able to say, the Bible has it wrong. And beyond that, we have the record of those through the centuries who have served God and found Him faithful and found reality serving Him. Our faith is historical. Our faith corresponds to reality. Our faith is based on what's tried and true. Why do people keep turning to the world when it lets folks down every time? Every time it lets folks down. So make faith the foundation of all your beliefs. Now, I'm going to skip verse 2 for just a moment to make this point. I want to go to verse 3. Make faith the foundation of all your beliefs. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. You know, even science has to believe that. They think everything came from a Big Bang, and then you ask them, well, where did the stuff for the Big Bang come from? We don't know. Until Stephen Hawking said about a year ago, he said, I got it figured it out. We don't need God anymore because it all came from gravity. I thought, Mr. Hawkins, you've solved nothing, because where did gravity come from? Right? And so the point is, by faith, we understand that everything that is material came from the immaterial. Everything that is seen came from the invisible things. In fact, you know where everything came from? It tells us right here. It came from the Word of God. God spoke it into existence. The only thing he made out of something was man. He made us out of mud. Not the inward part, that he breathed into us of his own self, of his own self. But God spoke things into existence. Make that the foundation of all your beliefs. You know, if you can believe that God created everything that is, then you can believe right things about the rest of life. If you'll get that right, if you really believe God is creator, you'll get the rest of it right too. If you really believe that, he's your creator. Aren't you glad for him? We believe the material universe came, they used to use the word ex nihilo, that means out of nothing. Now I want to make a point here before I bring it all together. We cannot reason our way to faith. Some people try to do that. I'll figure it out. You cannot reason your way. If you reasoned your way, it wouldn't be faith. It would be a conclusion. By its very nature, faith is a belief, the first belief that cannot be proved. It's a belief from which we base everything else. Amen. Should it bother us that we can't prove God? I mean, that's the charge the world makes. Well, you can't prove there's a God. You can't prove there's a God. Should it bother us that we can't prove God? Remember, if you think you can prove God, that's not faith. That's a logical conclusion. We believe there's a God. It's a faith thing. I'm not saying there's not evidence for it, but in the end, we believe. But should it bother us when the world says, you can't prove God? Should it bother us? It shouldn't bother us a bit. Science can't prove evolution, and yet everybody still believes in it. I'm talking about the secular world, right? How many know science cannot prove it? I'm not going to get into the details right now, but they cannot prove evolution. It's beyond the realm of science. By definition, by nature, science can only deal with that which is repeatable and observable and confirmable. And evolution's not in that realm. They can't show you evolution and process and progress. They accept it by faith. They accept that whole premise by faith. You know. In fact, and I've dealt with the details of this before, and I'll just give you one tonight. Did you know the odds of a human life coming from non-life in our universe, the odds of that happening are greater than the number of atoms in the universe? And tell me who has faith. One man wrote a book a year or so back. He says, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. You see, it shouldn't bother us that we can't prove God. We believe him because science can't prove evolution, and atheists can't prove that there's no God. An atheist will look and say, you can't prove there's a God. Just look at him and say, well, you can't prove there's not one. Amen? I used this once years ago. I was at a youth retreat, and I met some a young man that was an intellectual, and he said, I've studied this out. You know, I've read a lot, and I've studied this out, and I just don't believe that there's a God. And I said, you know, is that right? You just, because you've looked at all the evidence, and you don't think there's a God? He said, yeah. He said, there's not. And I handed him a sheet of paper, and I said, let's say that this illustrates everything there is to know about the universe right here. Okay, everything. Material universe, immaterial universe. This, everything about man, everything about stars. This is it right here. It represents everything that's to be known about the universe. Who'd like to help me here? You be the young man. Okay, you'll be the young man. Stand up for me here. If this is everything there is to know about the universe, would you tear off the portion that would represent what you know? This is the young man at the youth retreat. Okay, hold that up so they can see it. Can we zoom in on this right here? Now, you say you've really studied this out and you've concluded there is no God, but you've concluded there's no God from that amount of knowledge, right? Couldn't there be a God in this amount of knowledge if you had this? That's where our world is. They're so smug, there's no God. They haven't began to look at the evidence. You can't prove it. Understanding is not the basis of faith. Faith is the basis of understanding. The reason so many people understand so little about life is they've never put their faith in God. They're trying to understand this and understand that, and they never get it right. But if you'll put your faith in God, suddenly you'll have understanding. That's why the scripture says, you say it with me, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Faith is the basis. We don't understand in order that we might believe. We believe in order that we might understand. Therefore, when we accept by faith the first line of the Bible, how many knows what that is? If we can accept the first line of the Bible, we can get everything else. We can understand the rest. Here's the first line of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you'll accept that, you'll understand where we came from. You'll understand the purpose of man. You'll understand why we're here, what we're to do. You'll understand the reason we can have meaning. You'll understand where this world's headed. You'll understand future destiny. You'll understand that there's an eternity. I'm telling you, you get that right, you can get the rest right. And that's why the world's getting everything wrong, is because they're not getting this right. Here it is. God created the heaven and earth. It's not that people can't believe. It's that people do not want to believe. You know, the moment you admit God created the heaven and earth, you admit there's a creator. And if you admit there's a creator, then you admit that you have to answer to him, that he's boss. And that's why people don't want to believe. Amen. That's the reason they don't want to believe this is the Word of God, because if this is the Word of God, then they need to do what it says. It's not that people are, you know, we get this concept in our society that everyone's these egghead intellectuals, and they conclude there is no God. No, there's very few people don't believe in God because they've really thought it out and have intellectual objections. People don't believe in God because it contradicts the way they want to live, the decisions they want to make, the things they want to do. Amen? I'm talking about making faith the foundation of your life. And then the last point to be made tonight, make faith the foundation, not just of your belief, but make faith the foundation of your behavior. And we're going to discover in the next few moments, you really can't separate your belief from your behavior. You will behave according to what you really believe. And if you really believe something, you'll behave in a way because of it. If you really believe that Jesus is Lord, you'll live a life of surrender. Amen? So let's go back to verse 2. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Now I know it means to be commended. They were commended. We look back at the elders and we say, that's a life to be commended. They did commendable things. I mean, that's a life to be looked up to. But when I got a hold of that word report, I just couldn't get away from report card. How many young people, you look forward to report card day? Some of you are shaking your heads. Oh. Okay, report card. Some do. And you can guess why that is. You can figure that out. But instead of school, what if it's our trust and obedience to God that we got a report card? Now, you used to have to take them home. It was like, you know, he's going to the executioner or something. Now they mail him. But what if we got a report card on our faith and obedience and trust of God? Would you have a good report like these elders did? They had a good report because they believed. They got a good report on how they lived their lives. They believed in God, believing in God. They obeyed him. They trusted him. They did heroic things, great things, spiritual things, because they had faith. They simply believed in the Lord. They believed that there was one God. Therefore, they believed. They answered to that God. Their behavior mattered. They believed there was one God. They believed he was to be obeyed. They believed there was God. They believed they could trust him. And therefore, their behavior reflected that. They lived life of obedience. They trusted God for great things. They obeyed God. And so the question is, they lived their life. Their behavior was based on their faith. On what basis are you living your life? Do you really know what you believe from the Bible? I'm not talking to non-Christians. I'm talking to Christians. We are to live, if we really believe in God and this is his word, we are to live an investigated life whereby we seek to live our lives on the basis of what the book says. And so if I really have faith in God, if I really believe his word, I live my life. If not, you have no foundation for living your life. And you will not, or I will not, get a good report. Look at the verse again. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Amen. Make this one statement. We don't do this very much here, but just read this with me. Belief always affects behavior. And our behavior reveals what we believe. One shows what he really believes by how he behaves. You know, here's the thing that disturbs me that's crept even into the church on spiritual matters. Get this. Even on spiritual matters. Life issues. Life decisions. And somebody will say, well, I feel that this is what I ought to do. Or they'll say, I think. Here's the way I look at it. Here's what I think. It seems to me, in my opinion, I'm not talking about the world. Christians do this. The world is right there back in that mentality. Yep, they'll say, be true to your heart. Go with what you feel. Go with your gut. That's not the way the Christians make decisions. I mean, I've dealt with folks with decisions that involve their spirituality, their eternity, their walk with God, and they begin the conversation to back up their decision with, I feel, I think, in my opinion. Amen. If we believe this is the word of God, we don't make our decisions and live our lives according to, I feel, I think, it seems to me. We live our lives to, I've been in the word, and this is the principle of the word, and this is what God says. You know, it's this book that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if I have faith, then I live my life according to his book. So many live their lives based on these things that I just mentioned. Instead, we ought to base it on what the Bible says. That's one thing I appreciated in the prime of his ministry, Billy Graham. He'd make a statement, but prior to that, he'd say, the Bible says. And I know it's on all of our minds. That's why it keeps poking its way up in my preaching tonight. But one of the reasons our nation's in such a trouble is because we wanted to get rid of the document that made the decisions and just let people and popular consensus and maneuvering make decisions. When you get away from something that's set, it's adrift in the sea. So on what basis are we living our life? To live by faith is to live your life basing everything, every decision, every value, every desire, every plan. You base it on your belief that there is a God who is creator and redeemer and Lord and judge. We've made faith about how much we can get out of God or get God to do. That's our current church world. When they talk about faith, it's how you can twist God's arm and get something out of him or get him to do something. But when I read the book, faith is not about me getting something out of God. Faith is about how I live in obedience to him. And we'll talk about that another night. But they get it all wrong. Faith is not a mystical power. It's that I believe the Word of God enough to obey the Word of God, to follow the Word of God. Amen? So faith is a foundation. I don't know if anyone knows who this is. He's really not unclothed. He's just got special garments on. And I'm not sure how he pronounced it in French, but this is the first guy that tightroped over Niagara Falls, and they've recently done it again. But Blodin, or however you would say his name, Blodin, and he was the first one, fearless, pushed a wheelbarrow over there once on the tightrope. But huge crowds gathered to watch him do this. And one time he had just come across, and after the crowd applauded and everything and grew quiet, he addressed the crowd and he said, "How many believes that I could carry one of you on my back over Niagara Falls on this tightrope?" They just seen him, so everybody raised their hand. "Yeah, I believe you can do that." He said, "Okay." He said, "Who will volunteer to get on my back?" See, that's real faith. Not just say you believe, but to make it the foundation of your life. I don't know if this was a assistant or somebody finally said yes, but I did find a photo with somebody on his back. Now, that man had faith. Right? You know, to have a real faith of God is when you live your life with that belief in His Word as a foundation. I'm glad I believe in a Creator. You know, everybody has different things they do in prayer. I kill that. You guys will have to kill that unless we have that problem again. But I find myself, every time I go to the Lord in prayer, I almost always begin something like this. And this is in the tradition of the saints in the Scripture. "Oh God, that created a heaven above and earth beneath and the seas and all that in them is." Hallelujah. If we get that right, we can get the rest of it right. God is Creator. And not just Creator in general. God is my Creator. I don't like to blame things on God. I got two sermons I'm going to preach one day. One is poor devil. He gets blamed for things. People do it and then they blame him for it. And the other thing is poor God, because God gets blamed for a lot of things he never had to do anything with. How many knows that? But sometimes, I know we make messes ourselves, but sometimes I say, "Now God, I may be a mess, but don't forget you made me." Right? Praise the Lord. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Would you come, music? And the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. How many wants to obtain a good report? Believe God. Believe God. Trust in God. Would you stand? Father, thank you that you have revealed to us these things so that we can have faith, that we might believe you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to live our life, not just our worship on Sunday and Wednesday, but help us to live our life through the week, trusting, believing, living our life on the foundation of our faith and trust and obedience to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One man said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." If you find yourself in that company and you'd like to come to the altar tonight and say, "Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Give me more faith. Help me with my faith." If you desire that God would help you with your faith, would you come tonight and just find a place to pray? Amen. Make faith the basis of all your belief. Make faith the basis of all your behavior. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Let's seek the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.
Make me whole.
Oh, Jesus, I want to believe. I want to trust.
For you are holy.
Oh, bless your name, Lord. bless your name, Lord.
Let me always walk with you. Consecrate me. Dedicate me.
Oh, I believe you, God. I believe you, God. I'll trust you with my life. I'll trust you with my decisions. I'll trust you, Lord, with all of my soul, my future, my eternity. Lord, I'm not going to live my life by I feel, I think. I'm going to live my life in obedience to you, following you, trusting you. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Oh, let's seek him around the altar tonight. Amen. Let's begin right here. Let's humble our hearts before the mighty God. Do that all over the building from front to back. Let's just humble our hearts. You're the mighty God. You're the creator God. You're the Lord God. You're redeemer God.
Never stop trying.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sometimes I fall so
hallelujah. Tell God, I want a good report. I want my life to have a good report. I want to have a good report. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
My inconsistency.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, I'm not worthy, Lord.
Oh, God, you framed these words with your word. We believe that. We believe that, Lord. We believe that, God.
Consecrate.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Dedicate me.
Jesus. Jesus.
In every way, Lord, and in all I do. Anointing,